We take you now to San Francisco. In San Francisco, we present Upton Close.
Hello, Americans. We've just had a flash from Tokyo saying that a state of war exists with the United States. Now we begin to see through things. It's obvious that the Imperial General Staff in Tokyo took affairs right out of the hands of the civil government and has precipitated an attack and now announces that that attack is war. There is further evidence that the civil government in Tokyo knew nothing about it. Our Hollywood listening post has been listening carefully to everything coming over. Nothing has been picked up that indicated that the official radio in Japan, which is under the control of the Foreign Office, knew anything about what was happening. We now all look forward to the speech that's announced by Premier Dictator Tojo, another one by Minister Togo, and a third one by Naval Chief Shimada. Said these speeches will begin about 4:30 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, be about 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. These speeches will be made before a fanatical military association called the Imperial Rule Assistance Association in Tokyo, an inside group of gangsters who have precipitated their government into war with the United States. Thank you.
NBC takes you now to Manila. Ladies and gentlemen, back in San Francisco with Upton Close.
We've been trying to contact Manila. We heard a little Spanish, which was speaking about the attack on Honolulu. From that, we might assume that no serious attack has happened in Manila. But we don't know yet. We can't get Manila right now, so I'm going to talk to you a few more minutes. We're very interested in whether or not the attack on Honolulu would be called, from the military standpoint, a real serious attack. So far, 5 civilians killed in the bombing of the city is certainly not what they would call a serious attack in London. We have at present 2 conflicting, or possibly conflicting, reports about the damage done in a military sense. There seems to be no doubt but that the airfield at Hickman Field was hit and damage done which was not serious from the standpoint of flying, but a tragedy in the shape of a direct hit on an American barracks, which it is said killed 350 American soldier boys on the field. That's the worst thing yet. There seems some uncertainty whether any real damage was done at the naval base. We have a report saying that the USS Oklahoma, a battleship, one of our first class, but not one of our newest, was set afire in the air attack. Doesn't say whether it was seriously afire or not. There's another report, unconfirmed, that 2 U.S. warships, one of them the West Virginia, were sunk. I would take that just as a rumor until we have further confirmation. Now, as I have said before, the whole thing is going to come clear after we get these speeches from the Premier of Japan. It's rather interesting to note the possibilities of the way in which the attack took place. There's one rumor that the attack took place from the south. That would be in the direction of the island of Maui. It might be that a Japanese airplane was hiding out around the little island of Maui or below Molokai. It might even have been in connection with something going on at the island on the island of Hawaii, the biggest island of the chain and the southernmost one. There's a port there called Hilo, where there are Japanese in dominance. We have just had a flash saying that Japan has also entered a state of war with Britain.
Thank you, Mr. Coast. Manila is ready now, so we take you to Manila.
For the United States. When that bombing occurred, it was in the middle of night in Manila. Word of the attack was officially signed to General Douglas MacArthur, commanding the U.S. Armed Forces of the Far East. General MacArthur immediately issued an alert command to his entire force, including the Air Corps, which sprang into action. The Navy got word through three sources. From Admiral Hart's headquarters came word that hostilities had opened when the bombing of Pearl Harbor. It was announced that steps are being taken accordingly. That is Navy language. Censorship is to be established. We don't know just when it will be full censorship. The telephone circuit has been discontinued for general use, and it is no longer possible to send code messages to the United States. Plain English is permitted for the time being. Pan American Airways here says there is no clipper at present in Orion. There is a ship at Wake Island headed for the Orient. It was to have arrived here on Wednesday. Disposition of the clipper service remains undetermined for the present. Manila's first word of the Honolulu attack came through efforts to check on a report that Manila itself had been bombed. This report apparently emanated from London. On the contrary, Manila is still quiet and peaceful. Or was until the news got around about the Japanese attack on Honolulu. Details about what happened in Honolulu are lacking here. Press reports indicate that 50 or more planes participated in a general attack on Pearl Harbor. Naval authorities here agree privately that they could only have made such an attack from a carrier, although it is known from the non-naval sources that the Japanese had an air base of considerable size about 1,000 miles south of Wake Island. This would not have been within round-trip bombing distance of Hawaii, however. I have just received word that the Air Force of the U.S. Army of the Far East has taken to the air on patrol here. They can be heard overhead now. Let me assure you once more that Manila has not been bombed. General MacArthur, seeking to quiet the people when this report got around, put out a comforting statement. He appealed to the Filipino populace for self-control. Obviously, he was seeking to prevent a general rush to the open country over narrow highways and roads needed for self-defense. The general said his own feeling was one of security and confidence. This is Ford Wilkins in Manila, returning you now to CBS in New York.
H.B. Kaltenborn speaking from the NBC newsroom. We've just had word from Shanghai that a British gunboat in the harbor of Shanghai has been sunk by the Japanese. The importance of this is that it indicates that war is declared not only against the United States, but also against Britain. However, it is possible that the Japanese were aiming at the United States gunboat Wake, which was close to the British ship, but it happened that the Wake was not damaged and the British gunboat was. However, you and I know that Britain, in response to Prime Minister Churchill's pledge, would be in the war in any case, because as the news that has just come from Tokyo indicates, Japan has declared officially that there is a formal state of war between Japan and the United States. A state of war that has been brought about by Japanese action in attacking Hawaii. We have just had word from Manila that there has been no bombing attack on Manila. The original White House announcement to the effect that Manila had been attacked was evidently a mistake. One of those mistakes that are very apt to happen in the excitement of such events as have taken place this afternoon. It's evident now that there has been serious damage in Honolulu and Pearl Harbor. It's evident that if the evidence that we have had from our correspondent in Honolulu, that 350 men were killed in a direct hit on barracks at Hickam Field in Pearl Harbor. If that is true, it does indicate that the attack was a complete surprise, for it is not customary to keep men in barracks subject to air attack at a time when any such attack is either anticipated or when it is underway. It is evident now that the world entirely is at war, for this action by Japan extends the war all over Asia and, of course, to the American continent and doubtless also to many other countries of the Western Hemisphere. For there is no question but what a great many, certainly most of the Latin American countries, will stand side by side with the United States against this attack on the part of Japan. British reaction is already expressed in an editorial in Lord Beaverbrook's newspaper. He says this: the bluff is over. The war that Japan meant in all these years and in all her dealings with Britain and America is open war at last. There is unity here in the United States. In all the voices to which I've listened to this afternoon, voices of national leaders, of senators, of representatives, there was not one discordant note. Senator Wira, the leading isolationist, when informed today that Japan had attacked the United States, simply replied, that means war, and we'll have to see it through. So it is evident that so far as the United States is concerned, there is now complete unity with reference to whatever action the President in his message to Congress tomorrow will ask this country to take. China is already at war with Japan, and her great manpower will be an enormous asset. The Dutch, with their fleet, and with their excellent air force down in the South Pacific, may be expected to be of great help. The one question is Russia. What will Russia do if Japan does not attack her? That remains to be seen. This, after all, is an excellent opportunity to test whether or not Soviet Russia is sincere in her professions of friendship for the United States. For doubtless, she could be of enormous assistance if she were to turn over to us her bases on the Kamchatka Peninsula, if she were to permit us to use Vladivostok, if she were to use her great army in the Far East to strike into Manchuria and thereby divert a good part of Japan's military power. Obviously, Russia will wait, but it is quite possible that if Japan does not attack her, that she will decide to place herself at the side of the United States and use those forces in the Far East that have so far played no part in the war. Good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to H.V. Kaltenborn, noted NBC commentator.